Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. We've talked about handoffs before, and really, when we've talked about handoffs in the past, we've talked about EMS handoffs, EMS going to the ED, and then ED going back to EMS. But what we haven't talked about are the transitions of care that occur within the emergency department itself. The reason why this is important is because this is a common source of errors. In fact, the Joint Commission talks about up to 80% of serious preventable medical errors are attributed to poorly communicated handoffs. This makes handoffs something that we often do and don't even really think about, really kind of a high-risk event and things that we need to do better. And there's a lot of elements to doing a good handoff, and there are definitely resources out there. We're including them in the show notes, but let's talk about some of the keys. So first, we have to recognize that there are three aspects of the actual transfer. We are transferring information, responsibility, and authority. For the information transfer, it's like any other time we're doing a handoff. We're giving relevant data in regards to the case. So we're discussing pertinent positives, negatives, the actual management, and then the plan going forward. The incoming provider must accept responsibility as well for the patient's ongoing care. And then finally, we have to talk about the fact that the new person is taking primary authority over the continued care forward until the next transition occurs. There are serious barriers to effective transfers of care. One of the most common issues is the actual information that's given. We have this fine balance where we want to be concise, but we need to be complete in the information that we give. And this is often compounded by the issues of the actual emergency department. We have a busy department usually. There's a lot of volume and acuity going on. And so it's hard to really give everything that we think can be helpful. Plus, we've got distractions going on. It's hard for us to make sure that all the information is being relayed. So it's very important that we make sure that the information that we're giving is doing so in an effective manner when both people are fully invested in listening. This leads to another very common and concerning barrier, which is cognitive bias. There are four key types that we're talking about: triage queuing, diagnosis momentum, framing effect, and then ascertainment effect. Triage queuing is one that we probably see a lot of and maybe see the most. And this happens when a judgment is made early in the patient care process that impacts a particular decision. One of my favorites that I've seen where this is just a perfect example is that there was a delay in a diagnosis of a patient with a STEMI because when they first came in, they came in complaining of a cough and chest pain. Well, the anchor bias to that was that they said, oh, well, they had a cough along with their chest pain. This must be a URI, and then sent them to the fast track side. Luckily, some people were very astute and paying attention, and they got the EKG and found out it was a STEMI. But there were significant delays versus recognizing chest pain and going after that first. Diagnosis momentum is when a particular diagnosis is leaned on, even though other evidence may suggest the contrary. When a presentation is made in a particular way, then we're actually talking about framing effect, and this can also impact decisions. Then there's also ascertainment effect, and this is when our thinking is impacted by expectations that already exist. Again, all these are important, but I really think triage queuing is one that we really need to keep in mind in addition to all the others. The last barrier is the actual transfer authority. This can happen a couple of different ways. So when we fail to do that proper transfer authority, one common issue is the actual sign-off. Maybe you still have to work on some charts, maybe you're still talking to people, whatever, but you've already given over the care, but someone comes to you and starts telling you about the patient, but you no longer are actually taking care of the patient. That confusion leads to those types of issues. So maybe they told you about an elevated troponin, but that's because you're still there, even though you had already handed off the care to someone else. Well, it's important that when this happens, you actually tell them that, no, this person is now taking over the care. And yes, it may be helpful for you to know that just because that may impact what your decision-making was and what you told the previous person about. But again, this is something that we need to make sure the right person is getting the right information. The other issue is when the receiving provider avoids getting involved, even though the other provider has already left. I see this sometimes with psych patients where basically all the workup's been already done and they don't want to do anything else with them. But again, you've taken over authority of the patient. You need to do the next steps from there. When performing a handoff, there are essentially three stages of the actual handoff. There's the pre-turnover, the meeting, and then the post-turnover. The pre-turnover are all things that the initial provider is doing by organizing and reviewing the actual plan. The meeting is, well, the handoff itself, and then the post-turnover is when the new provider acts on the information that's been provided. Standardized methods should be used, and unfortunately, there's no perfect standardized method. Now, there are all these different acronyms, such as SBAR, that are being used, but really, we just have to kind of figure out what works best, and they need to include certain key elements. The first part is to review the current information and pre-round on patients. Pre-rounding doesn't have to be done in person, just like rounding with the handing off person needs to be done in person, but really, this is something to consider. This would be a nice way to tie up loose ends. This may be just simply talking to the nurse, but it's also good to let your patients know if you're leaving. This may be something you do a half hour to 60 minutes in advance or whatever time frame works best to just say, hey, I'm going to be probably leaving soon. Here are some things I want to do. How are you feeling at this point? And maybe making the plans from there. This also helps make sure that you're current and up to date on the information for when you do the actual transfer of care. During the meeting phase of the handoff, again, you should try and round together, especially in anyone who's sick or complex in nature. This is a good time to do re-examination or do your own personal examination if you're the person taking on this patient, just to make sure that everything is hunky-dory and that everything you're getting is correct. I also try and reevaluate this patient a few different times, especially if it's a prolonged stay, just to make sure that I got all the pieces and make sure that I didn't miss something or the previous person missed something that now can make a huge difference on my decision making. And this is very, very important to do this at the bedside whenever possible. Given sometimes you don't really need to do this. Maybe someone's about to be departed from the department, or maybe they're getting admitted and you're just waiting for them to physically leave your department. If that's the case, you may not necessarily need to do that. But still keep in mind that you are responsible for this patient. So make sure that you get all the key information you need. The next is to relay to the rest of the team that the handoff has occurred. Again, this is really important when you have someone come up to you about test results to make sure, hey, I've already transferred care. Thank you for letting me know. And make sure that this all meets expectations and what's going on. But it's very important to let everyone who is involved with this patient know that this handoff has actually occurred. And I see this all the time in the different shops I work at where someone has been gone for an hour, but they didn't know that they've been gone and they're trying to look for them. I say, no, I've already taken over for this patient. So it's important that you make those connections and that people see that and understand that. This helps avoid the issues essentially with transfer authority. Finally, the other big thing I want you to do is to make sure you receive feedback. Feedback needs to go both directions, making sure that all questions or suggestions regarding the care have been discussed. And this is extremely important because we need to make sure that we're all on the same page, making sure the person who is getting off has given all the information that we need and that the new person who's taking over is on the same page and does anything things that they think is appropriate, but understanding if it's maybe already done or maybe it was ruled out because of other information. So it's all important to make sure all that's there. And just like any other high-risk element of our shift, we need to avoid the interruptions. Obviously, it's going to happen. It's an emergency department. But if we can focus on avoiding those, that would be key. This was meant as a very, very quick review. And we probably need to discuss this more in the future, but I just want to make sure we got this information out there. Please give us all your thoughts and opinions as well. Maybe you have some other ideas. We'll include things in the show notes that have a lot more discussion, but this is just a nice, quick, soft skill that really we don't talk about, but needs to be discussed more. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.